Bam! Live, we're back, better than ever. Thanks everybody for hanging out with us tonight. This is the Vice City FC podcast, part of Lemon City Live. I am your boy, Edwin La Tanga Garcia, bro. They called me La Tanga because no tapaba nada when I was the goalie, bro. You know, that's what it was. That's probably like a super old joke, but that was the name, so I got to own it for this week. Anyway, I'm your boy, Larry Fresh, joined, as always, by the three-headed monster that is the Vice City FC podcast, producer Fungus, right there, representing Orlando, the north part of the Turnpike. And Orlando City, we're going to boo him tonight because, no, I'm just kidding. No, he's our boy. We love him. And Chavi Guerrero, our inner Miami legend over here. Everybody knows who legend. He is. Everybody knows what's up. Yet. Yeah, bro. You're on that legendary status, man. I got to hand it to you, bro. Your trajectory is like surpassed us. We just hope you don't forget us here. But again, this is the Vice City FC podcast. This is season 2, episode 7. We're going to talk about match day 5, inner Miami. Doing really well. Can't say the same about our team up north, you know, in Orlando. We talked about it last week. If certain somebody's going to be on the hot seat, we'll talk about that.
It happened.
And then we'll wrap up.
It happened. Yeah. Worst case scenario. Yeah,
we'll talk about Chavi's top 10 power rankings for the season. So if you're watching, if you're hanging out, feel free to comment on the stream. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching on our Twitter, if you're watching on Facebook. If you're listening to the podcast later, or if you're watching right now, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, give us a little follow. If this is your first time, hang out with us. Thank you for making some time and chilling with us. So, gentlemen, we're here. It's been, first of all, how was your weekends? Everybody good? I know Chavi had dad day on Sunday. That was a good time. Gus, you're good. Everybody good? Solid, solid. All right. This week, I couldn't brag about my Miami FC team winning because they lost. But so that's all we'll talk about that since you guys, this isn't about them. We're going to talk about what you guys are here for. Let's get to it, man. Inter Miami goes up. A Messi-less Inter Miami, or sans Messi. I don't know how you want to put it. Inter Miami squad goes up to the nation's capital to take on DC United. It was a top 10 matchup here for our power rankings.
A good DC United team.
A very good DC United team. This was a top 10 power rankings matchup here. They go up there. They fall behind early, the tune of 1-0, and then they come back and score 3 unanswered goals, take the 3-1 win. Chavi, give me your initial reaction here from the game. What did you see? What did you like? What stood out? And then we'll get going from there.
The cherry blossoms were beautiful, and both goals by Suarez, and we got Campapi to get on the scoreboard again. It's a great victory. Why? Because Messi's not there. Everybody believes that if Messi's not on the pitch, the team is going to be terrible, have direction. Well, now we know that that's not going to be the case, but it's because the team has gotten stronger, right? When you have a Luis Suarez on your team, and then you get a young stud like Redondo coming in, and then you have another young stud like Diego Gomez, right? You have these two guys with nothing less than Sergio Busquets in between them. So there's a team. There's a deep team. There's a strong team. There's a younger team than people think, because the first thing, Inter Miami, the retirement team, what is that? Century Village and all that. What was all the jokes when I asked? When I asked, like, to give a name for the Fantastic Four, some people are grumpy old men or blah, blah. You know what? No. There's a lot of young players. The back line. Look at the back line to start that match. Noah Allen, 19, right? Then you have Tomas Arias. I think he just turned 21. And then you have Fred, which is old, 30. And then you had David Ruiz, who just turned 20. Yeah. So the back line is super young, super young. And they did a good job. It's a big victory. It's an important victory because it's against a good team at their house, away. Yeah. And that team was pumped. Like, every team is always pumped to play Miami, to beat them, especially at their home, right? With Field Stadium smacks. And Miami went and handled the job, and they looked good. And it was several players. I mean, 3 players made the team of the match day, right? 3 players. Yeah. Luis Suarez, we have Redondo, and Campana. And it could have been more. It could have been Diego Gomez, to me, was one of the best players on the pitch and in that game. like he always.
Let me stop you right there. Because I gotta tell you that I've come around to Gomez. I've come around when he first arrived here last season after Messi. I felt like he was just very
anxious. I felt very nervous.
I described him as a guy who played in my Sunday soccer league. Like he would have been the best guy at Sunday soccer league.
That's a terrible take on your part.
But no, I'm just saying you could tell that he had the skill, but he was just not polished. Like I felt like he was very erratic, very overly aggressive at times. And I'm like a 19 year old.
He looked like a 19.
Like a 19 year old. Yeah, you're right. Like a 19 year old. But he's come around and he's having a fantastic start to the season. So I got to give him props. He's made me a believer. And Redondo, Redondo. Okay. Let's call it as it is, bro. I don't like this Redondo stuff. The dude he's a baller, bro. He's come in there and he's doing what is very rare, which is he's coming in, you're plugging him into a very important position, playing alongside his idol, and he's just delivering results. The kid can play. So that's what I just wanted to give right off the bat. Yeah. Fantastic job. So how about our Gus, let me ask you, who leads the MLS in goals? Who's tied for first in goals right now?
It's not Suarez.
In goal contributions.
Suarez. How about
total goal contributions? He's a top.
He's got 4 goals already on the season. Number one, tied with I think Giamakis or something like that for number one. Mm-hmm. And guess who's leading the league? Tied also for league lead in assists.
I'm guessing Suarez.
Double points, bro. Double points, just like his double goals, bro.
The guy with two bad knees. The guy that why are you signing him?
Yeah, man. Well, I think people said, why are you signing, with reason. I mean, let's not act like we're going to be like...
They went overboard because the guy just was coming off the Brazilian league, being the MVP of the league, scoring 26 goals, and I don't know how many... I get it.
But again, like anything, bro, everything, you know, eventually all good runs come to an end, you know, and one day he's not going to be good. And it's fair to think that after so many years that he, you know, might have a falling off here. But he hasn't. Unlike, and remember, let's go back a year ago when we had Joseph Martinez and he came in and we were banking on a lot of success for him to come in and deliver. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he never got it going, you know.
But he ended up majority like of his goals were. Right?
I don't think he had that many. I don't think he had that many. I got to look it up.
But he was around there.
But most of them were PKs. Let's be real. He had a lot of PK goals. Suarez has had none.
Still got to make them.
Suarez hasn't had. Suarez is putting the ball in the net from all angles. That chip shot, that third goal yesterday or Saturday, was just filth. Filth. Absolute filth, man. That's the kind of stuff that makes the league look bad, you know? Like, man, how's this Century Village resident coming over here and making all our young guys look this bad? But hey, I'll take it. It's on our squad.
Same thing you say about Messi, bro. Messi's done it everywhere. He's done it at the top levels. Suarez is doing it. Yeah. He's done the same thing. He's done that to everybody he's played against.
And Messi's doing it's it with a bad man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, we mentioned at the beginning, no Messi this week. How do you feel, Xavi? How would you rate from, you know, 1 to 10 here, how the team performed without Messi?
Well, we're not going to pretend that we don't miss the greatest.
Of course we miss him, but just how did they handle it?
They controlled the game. They dominated the game. They controlled the midfield. They had control of the action for the most part. Not at the beginning, but because at the beginning, DC started very strong. DC started, took it to them. DC pressed them like it hurts Miami.
Yeah.
And they had a beautiful goal. I mean, Strud scored a banger. It was great. At that moment, we're like, maybe something's up. But their poise, the leadership, and the youthful exuberance, like, they came back and they're like, okay, boom, 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 boom. So I rate it from 1 to 10. I'm going to give it a 7.5 because I don't want to.
Wow.
There's still room to grow. I think there's still room to grow. I don't like to just go and get so happy right off the bat.
Wow. Okay.
7.5 is almost an 8. Yeah, it's good.
I feel like that's kind of stingy there. I mean, I would have probably given them considering that's fair enough. You're gonna be stingy. I would have given them a little higher, probably in the 8, you know, 8.85, somewhere around there. Because again, you knew there was no Messi. You got the big target on your back. You need your guys to step up. I feel like everybody stepped up on the squad. There was no they fell behind early with the 1-0, but then Campapi comes through with a nice little left footed kick. Finally, we talked about it last week, taking advantage of these situations. Papi has to be on point. Papi has to play on point every opportunity that he gets.
Big Papi. He needs to be Big Papi.
He has to be Big Papi. Mm-hmm. He has to be Big Papi, not Con Papi, Big Papi. So he did well. I liked what he did. He took advantage of the minutes that he got, and he made like he made an impression. He scored the goal, celebrated, had the moment.
He had
good
energy
for him.
During the match. He had energy during the match. He was moving around. He's running. He's moving around a lot better than he has in the, you could tell he's healthy. Remember, because the last few seasons, he comes into the season with a little calf injury, and he's not the same.
Yep.
You can tell he's starting healthy, and hopefully he stays that way. Just to mention something really quick, when we're talking about guys that stepped up big, we cannot overlook David Reis. He played back.
It's a baller.
He played great. You put him, you plug him anywhere, and he shows his quality. But he went to right back and held it. He held that spot until they bring whoever they're going to bring. He might just keep playing there.
It, you know, that's the thing. When if I'm running a team here and I look at these guys that are 19, 20 years old, dude, you're not you don't have an established position to me. In my eyes, you don't. Remember Gareth Bale? Remember him when he was with the Spurs? You know what position he played? Right back. Also, okay? Before he became superstar forward, that, winger out there for Real Madrid and everything, he was a right back, okay? When you're young and you have energy, you have stamina, you have these things, you got to be able to plug and play till you find the position as you progress in your career that you own that position, you know? So when I see guys like David Ruiz, as good as it as they're playing and as I'm happy as I am to see it, I also kind of expect that from those really good young guys, you know what I mean? Because those are the guys that are going to step up, and that to me shows me that he's ready for the next level. Him, Noah Allen has played center back, has played left back, he's played right back, he's been interchanged a few times, and Ruiz, we've seen him in the midfield. Again, we got two big studs there. Ruiz is definitely setting himself, separating himself a little bit from those other guys. But what I wanted to mention was in the game, so it was 1-1 early second half, and we were facing an onslaught from DC. They came out strong to start the second half, and this is where I was really the most impressed with Inter Miami. This is where that switch hit, where they turn it on. DC did a cross. It looked like it kind of went off of, was it Aviles's hand?
It did.
But it was a natural possession. Very questionable. It was questionable in that. But there's where you saw, this is why I was saying, this is where I give the 8.5. This is where I was giving the 8.5 because the Inter Miami saw that DC was like, hey, complaining, and took advantage, man. The counterattack right from there led to that goal from Suarez, and it was just beautiful. Just bam, and that's it. The pressure was off. They came in, they added the third goal at the end, and it was just like DC wasn't able to rebound from that. They got punched in the mouth there, and Inter Miami showed some incredible poise to me. That's why I give them that little extra. That's, to me, 8.5.
100%. And Redondo, that second goal, Redondo, let's call him the round mound.
Redondo.
He was about, how did that play start? He was about to lose the ball. He was on the floor, won it back while he was on the floor, took off towards the area, slipped, like he kind of almost lost it. The defender was coming, and he did a slide tackle and won it again. And that's where the ball stayed for Big Papi to come in and boom. So it was an effort, a big, big effort play by Redondo. And then in the third goal, you have that, you have the young, it's all the young guys. Gomez, Redondo, Campapi. There's a lot of future. There's a strong future, a good foundation for Inter Miami. They're not Century Village. They're not, people are making a mistake with this team.
Yeah. All right. So let's take a pause right there. So we've established Inter Miami, solid win. We graded them 3-1 win against DC. Before we get into CONCACAF and how they did there, let's shift over. Let's get on the turnpike. Let's go north a little bit here. Let's talk to Gus here and let's see Orlando. We talked about it last week. Oscar Pereja, the coach, Pereja. Look at me. I'm such a white
Pareja.
Guy.
Pareja.
¿Qué te pasa?
I know, bro. It's been whitewashed over here. Anyway, listen. Orlando. If his seat was hot last week, it's on fire. Like his whole house, he's the meme right now. He's like, this is fine. Mm-hmm. He's just standing there doing the Achilles meme. It's bad news for Orlando. They go another MLS game without scoring a goal. Their goal differential this season is -8. They've only scored 2, given up 10. In all their MLS games this season. Now, they have some success in CONCACAF because they played the Canadian team, Calvary, right?
Calvary.
Mm-hmm. Calvary. So they had you saw glimpses of what the offense can do, but what is going on in Orlando right now, Gus? Because this is bad. They lose 2-0 again this week at Atlanta. Yeah. They needed to get that win. We'll find out if Atlanta makes Xavi's top 10 this week or not. They have two wins now, but we'll see. Xavi's he's giving us a little sign there. But Gus, what happened? What's going on in Orlando? What's your big takeaway of how bad they're playing?
Look, it really comes down to one thing, and it's that they're not scoring the opportunities that they're creating, because okay. They are creating opportunities, right? I don't know if you guys saw highlights of the Orlando City match, but in the first 5 minutes, Muriel, he sent a freaking bomb and a big sperm. He barely got a fingertip on it and went right over the goalpost. Went right over the goalpost. So I feel like they're knocking on the door, but they're knocking on the wrong house. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like
the aim is off.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, but I feel like Muriel, once he gets into form, I feel like he's slowly finding his rhythm. I wish that he would find it a little faster, and I'm sure his teammates and Orlando City fans
lose some weight.
They also, I guess he needs to lose some weight. That you mentioned it, that you thought he looked a little overweight, and it could be that. But I feel like once he finds his form and he starts making goals, it's going to give confidence to the rest of his teammates as well, right? Duncan McGuire has been playing hard, but he's on and off, man. He's either playing really well or he's absent. You know, he played really well.
Scoring in the first 13 seconds or not scoring at all. Okay. But wait, let me stop you right there, Gus, because I want to go back, circle back to Muriel here real quick, because you said Muriel's creating chances, but he's knocking on the wrong houses. He's doing all this stuff, but that's Muriel. And I get it. That's your striker. But what about the rest of the team here? I mean, is Ladero? I know McGuire. I'm not going to compare him because they're playing a similar position. But are those guys creating chances enough that it's just him not converting those chances, or is he doing everything and they're not doing enough? Like, is there a disparity there? What do you see?
As a team, they are creating chances, right? Ladero also had a shot at goal. He kicked it right at the keeper. So, they just need to, and they're still finding each other, you know, Lodeiro, Muriel, and Angulo and Torres and Duncan, for that matter, those three and Lodeiro and Muriel, they never played it with each other before. It's going to take more than a few preseason games, which Muriel wasn't even a part of, and a few games at the beginning of season for them to really click, you know? So I feel like Pareja's seat is hot because he didn't take advantage of the beginning of the season. He did the load management was
because
the wrong
he hasn't
way to go,
won a game.
Opinion.
I'll say that.
Yeah, no, like load and the reason for that is because he tried to do load management, which you shouldn't do. You always start your best players, man. And if you need to rest some guy after the first half, you know, and bring in a sub, cool. But always start your best players.
He got ahead of himself,
in my opinion.
I think
I think he overthought it.
Exactly what you're saying is the opposite of Tata Martino. Because remember, here they were asking, hey, you're going to manage the guys. You know, it's after two games. You're going to give them rest. And he goes, guys, it's only been two games.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm paraphrasing here, right?
Yeah.
It's only been two games. They're fine. They're good. And then what happened? They go and whoop Orlando City.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I asked him. I was like, hey, you know, does that justify your take where you played all your starters? Like, yeah, but it's not about that. It's just that I know, you know, the everyday of the players. So I don't know if Pareja believes what's up with Torres, you know, Facundo Torres. He's
dealing with an injury right now, but
that's what I was going to ask you, because maybe there's more to it than we know, because this is a very strong team and they're not playing that way. And the time is passing and we keep saying that they have it, but at some point there's lost seasons, right?
So of course
we're game five from now to game 10, something has to happen. They better win at least three games.
Like I mentioned in the last time we were talking about Orlando City, when they lost 3-2 against Minnesota, they had 22 shots that game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
22 shots. That's insane. How do you not win that game? You know what I mean? And now against Atlanta, they had 11. 11 shots is still a lot of shots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if that shot by Muriel goes in at the beginning of the game in the 5 minutes, it's a completely different game. You know, Atlanta, yeah, they're a good organization. I don't think they're a great team. They've only really beaten teams that are at the bottom of the barrel. So okay. I feel like Orlando could have won that game, and they should have won Minnesota against Minnesota. We could be having a completely different conversation. Maybe not completely different, but we could be having a different conversation because they still
it'd be a completely different conversation.
Well, they
we're literally
still
talking about a coach about to get fired. We're talking about a coach fired for now. When
I don't think he's close to getting fired yet. I don't think
he's still got some room, right? He's
on a shorter leash, yes, but the leash was very long to begin with because every single season that he's been at Orlando, they've improved. And they won a U.S. Open Cup title. They had the best season they've ever had last year. You got to give the guy a long leash to start the season. Yeah, he screwed it up for himself, and now he's on a tighter leash, but it was long to begin with.
His credit limit has shrunk a little bit, but he still has credit.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to bring down that credit limit a little bit. But, I mean, looking back at, like, Phil Neville last year, you know, hot start, and then all of a sudden, as soon as he started losing a couple of games, we're, you know, off with his head, you know.
But what had he done before that? He hadn't done anything before.
He didn't have the equity. Yeah, his leash was short to begin with. Well,
He didn't have the players either. And then last season, everybody was injured. Out of like, his starters, like, 9 people were injured, out, long periods of time. He had a rough stretch here. I don't think he was terrible, but this year with Portland, we're going to see what kind of coach he is because he's got talent. He's got talent over there.
Now, Coach Pereja said that he was focusing on Champions Cup. That was his, you know, his main focus to start the season. And like we saw their first round matchup or their first leg matchup in the round of 16 against Tigres was a 0-0 draw at home. Mm-hmm. They went to El Volcán or whatever they call the stadium over there in Mexico to play against Tigres.
Yeah.
And well, now we know that. Now we know that the focus is MLS because they've been eliminated from Champions Cup. It was a pretty bad loss.
They were eliminated, and it was the fourth time that they played Tigres in a row in that competition because last year they were eliminated by Tigres in the round of 16. Both matches were draws, but they conceded a goal at home, and that's why they were eliminated. This time around, they had the advantage going into the second leg at Monterrey against Tigres because they didn't concede a goal at home, but you know they just ended up losing outright. So they didn't draw for the fourth time in a row, and they couldn't get the win. So they end up being eliminated by Tigres.
Yeah, man. And it wasn't, honestly, that game wasn't even close. Like, I was watching that one, and it just felt like Tigres was the better, more aggressive team. They were applying pressure.
If you watch how Orlando plays, you can tell that they're still not clicking with each other because somebody receives a ball, and they're looking. You got to look around to see where your guys are. So their movement of the ball is really slow. You know they're not clicking with each other yet. They don't have that anticipation of knowing, oh, when this type of play is forming, Angulo's making a run. You know that kind of anticipation.
Well,
they don't have that with each other yet.
Continuity of the team and
that's why load management was a bad idea to begin with because they don't build that continuity. Even if you wanted to focus on CONCACAF Champions Cup, you should have still kept that built that continuity so that when you get to that second leg, you can win and move on, you know.
Yeah, or at least make a better showing.
Exactly.
I will say,
bird in hand is worth two in the bush. I mean, he's planning for something he doesn't even have yet.
Now, I will say this: I want to highlight somebody that it hurts me to highlight because I like him. Uh-oh. I'm a fan, but we gotta talk about Gallesi here, man. The goalie, the Peruvian national team goalie, El Pulpo.
Yeah.
Yo, you've given up 10 goals. Is that more, let me ask you that you've watched every minute of Orlando City games so far this season. Is that number more representative of him not playing to the level you expect from him or of the defense and bad defense leading to, you know, easy goals for the opposition?
I would say it's half and half because he has let some, you know, like some goals go in that he should have stopped.
Okay.
Like the one that he gave up trying to dribble the player, and he gave up that they stole the ball from him, and they had an easy goal. That was his bad. There's another one where he was just too high up. He was out. I think he was almost outside the 18. They just chipped the ball right over his head.
Yeah,
when they stole the ball.
That's why I bring it up, because he's had a couple of bad looks. So is he falling off a little bit here? Because this is a guy with a good pedigree.
I wouldn't say he's falling off. Yesterday's game, the two goals that were scored against him, I wouldn't put any of those on him. The first goal,
okay,
the guy had a shot from closer than the penalty spot. It was at an angle, but he did what he was supposed to. He covered the post close to the angle, but the guy was able to
post on him.
He went far post. He was able to make it, which that's the more difficult shot. But you know, he was able to make it. And So that's really, I wouldn't put any of those goals on him. But next up, they're hosting Austin this weekend, and Austin is another team that's at the bottom. Yeah, they're another team that's at the bottom of their standings in the Western Conference. So I think it's the perfect opportunity for them to start writing the shit.
Yeah, winless Austin, 0-3-1 right now. They've given up only 3 goals and scored. Wait, no, sorry, I read that wrong. What's their goal differential here? Oh, their goal differential is -1. Yeah, okay. They only have 3 points. Sorry, because they have those the 3 draws. but anyway, we'll see. Austin is a winnable game here. I'll say it again. I said it last week. We were going to have a different conversation, but there's no CONCACAF Champions Cup here. All the focus is on MLS. Mm-hmm. You get a week to prepare for this game. Obviously, they need to win. They need to win here.
Yeah.
But how badly does coach need to win to get some of this, to extend the leash a little bit longer? Because right now it's getting shorter, the seat's getting hotter, and it's a lot of unwanted attention in the wrong places here. How badly do they need to win here? What's worst case scenario here if they lose? How do you see that affecting them? Is it going to get shorter? Are we going to get closer to the axe? Does he lose?
No, every loss without winning, the leash is going to get shorter. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
what I like is that in this past game, you saw, for the most part, if it wasn't for Torres dealing with that injury, he did end up coming into the game eventually, but he didn't start the game. But if it wasn't for that, I think we would have seen the team that he's ultimately going to go with. You know what I mean? And he's now that they're out of the competition, we're going to see that a lot more. Right. So I expect to see him. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
No, you're saying you expect to see him what?
Yeah. I expect to see, you know, a more consistent starting lineup moving forward and them start to build that continuity.
All right. Well, speaking of competitions, like you were talking about, let's go back to CONCACAF Champions Cup here, because we do have a team that's in it. Chavi, Inter Miami, took care of business. Actually winning, making moves here. They defeated Nashville. What was the final score in the Nashville game? 3-1 to advance. That was another easy game. I'm not going to say easy, but they made it look easy. It was a comfortable game. Suarez, again, I think he had a brace in that one, too.
They outwear them.
The what?
They wear them down. They wear the team. They wear the teams down because of you know, the quality that they have, and they're deep. They make a substitution, and you're bringing in another really solid player that, you know, other teams might not have that same caliber player. They're just wearing teams down, and then you have Messi, right? He played 51 minutes, but in the time that he played, he showed out, right? He gave Suarez did have the brace. Messi had the other goal. And you got those two legends playing and playing well. So Miami's a tough team.
Let me say that again. Messi, Lionel Messi, and Luis Suarez both scored in the same game for Inter Miami. That's crazy. Just that Inter sentence. Miami. Just think about how crazy that sentence was a year ago.
One year ago even. But like 10 years ago.
Crazy.
You're crazy. That's impossible. That's never going to happen. You don't even have a team in Miami.
Nope. It's insane. I love it. And hey, shout out to whoever's watching right now. If you're live on the stream, man, drop us a little comment here. I see Steve Munoz did say something. I like the nickname. Freddy Round. I like that. Freddy Round. Sorry. Fetty, I like that one. That's a solid entry right there. Let us know where you're watching from. I want to know if any Orlando City fans are joining us tonight too, man. I'd like to hear how bad you think your team is right now, because you know, it's hard times in Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah, you Yeah, down here, you guys suck. What's up? But it's all good, though. You know, we want you guys to be well. We want. I prefer a good rivalry. You know what I mean? It's like a Heat Knicks. You know, you love it when both teams are good, and it's always better when everybody's competitive.
And but yesterday's anyway, and yesterday's game against Atlanta was a rivalry because even just a few years ago, Miami and Charlotte were not in the league. So that, you know, I think Atlanta's
that was your first
rivalry. Now is Charlotte. Atlanta. Before it was Orlando, Orlando, Atlanta.
Hey, so we talked about the MLS game, but let me not forget somebody here who this weekend made their 83rd career appearance for Inter Miami, okay? Making him number one all-time in career appearances, most games played for Inter Miami. I know it doesn't seem like much. 83 is a lot, you know, and for a team that's this young, these are the kind of guys that those lifelong Inter Miami fans are going to remember. The same way those Marlin fans from 1993 inaugural season, they remember Mr. Marlin. They remember Jeff Conine. You remember these guys that you grow attached to. Robert Taylor, man. Robert Taylor appreciation moment here, okay? The man has just done everything I compared him to Pedro from the Barcelona big days over there, where he was just that unsung guy. You know, he wasn't getting all the MSN. But he would score, he would do everything. And if there's anybody that has benefited more from this Miami team from Messi arriving here, there's nobody who's benefited more than Robert Taylor, because what he's done has just been incredible. He's got this incredible energy. I heard that he's not going to go play for Finland because he knows of the disadvantage that would leave his team playing with right now. So he's going to actually stay back with the team and help Inter Miami out.
He actually put out a
total team player. Yeah, total team player here, bro. So give it out to Mr. Heron, our Mr. Marlin, our OG, you know, Inter Miami guy here, Robert Taylor. Gotta love it. Guy's great. He's fantastic. He's really put out, and he's really, really got to be the most popular Inter Miami player not from Barcelona, right? I think he's the most loved and most liked non-Barcelona player, right?
So. Maybe Calendar.
Yeah, I Calendar, you know, I always look back at Calendar, and I don't know if Calendar's, you remember this, Chavi. The first
Calendar's a little more mainstream now.
Yeah, yeah, he's mainstream. He's USA goalie. He's kind of cool. He's like, he's like, I dye my hair, you know, blonde, and I love it. It's all good, bro. It's great. But Chavi, if you remember, I believe you and I were at Drake Calendar's first ever start. Wasn't that his first start? Against Miami FC. I like looking back at that, and we were talking to him after the game, and he was just, you know, he was just regular backup goalie, and now, you know, men's national team. Nine, look at that!
Dying his hair blonde, wearing Jankos, listening to Prodigy.
Big time. He did big in 1 year. But this is the Robert Taylor's moment. This is Mr. Heron, like you're calling him, right? He's an underground cult hero, a fan favorite. People love him because what was he? He was David Reese before David Reese. He was plug and played every single position. Could play goalie. He probably could play goalie too if they asked him to, right?
I'd expect nothing less.
A very humble guy, and it's cool because when he speaks, you know, in the press conference or whenever, you know, you ask him a question, it's very calm, low demeanor. But when he gets on the pitch, he has like a little swag, a little Finnish swag, whatever that is over there.
Yeah, bro, a little Sasha Barkov in him, bro, you know?
He has something, and then when he sees Messi and the boys, he plays like if he's South American. He's like, vamos, dame la bola.
Bro. He's got the tattoos. I'd love to hear the conversation between him and, like, Messi when they speak. Like, I know, I think we talked about it last week. Julian Gressel came out in an interview recently and talked about how Messi spoke English to him, and it was fantastic.
Oh,
you know, he's like, my English, pretty good, huh?
Very good looking.
I love it. So give me more of that. Props to Robert Taylor. Continue to kick ass and building your legendary status here.
If I had two more kids, two more boys, I'd name one Robert and the other one Taylor.
I like it, bro. I'll give you that. Let's go back to Inter Miami here for a second. I want to wrap up Champions Cup here before we get into your top 10 here, because you got a lot of explaining to do here. But first off, Champions Cup, our next matchup is April 2nd, right? We take on Monterrey. Monterrey, good squad, good team, Mexican. They play in that stadium that you wanted to see, Gus. That's going to be quite the event there. And they got a former MLS guy who's tearing it up for them right now. Brandon Vasquez up at the number nine position, who's just been, you know, he eliminated his old team in FC Cincinnati in the Champions Cup now, scored a goal against them and everything. And now he's taking his sights and his talents over here to take on Inter Miami. How do you feel about this matchup? How do you think we match up well? Do you think we match up well against Monterrey, or do you think we maybe have some holes that we need to fill in?
Talking to me or to Gus?
Okay. No. Well, you're the Inter Miami guy, Gus. I don't care what he says right now. No offense, Gus.
Okay. No. Definitely it's going to be probably one of the toughest challenges all season, you know, unless they keep going to the club. Monterrey is a powerful team in Mexico. They pay big bucks. They got big players. They got Vasquez. Vasquez is playing out of his mind, scoring, you know, left and right. But we knew that. We knew that he was a good, young, talented, up-and-coming player, even in MLS, especially when in Miami. Like, he loved to kill Miami. He scored a hat trick once. I think it was two seasons ago. Like, he feasted on Miami.
The kid's a baller, man. Kid's a baller. When he's had his opportunities on U.S. men's national team, he should have been on the team. Just to give you a little heads up here, Monterrey right now is first place in Liga MX in Clausura. They're undefeated right now. 8 wins, 4 draws, and no losses right now. They have a plus 15 goal differential, and they lead the Clausura in ML and Liga MX.
It's the strongest. You're getting the strongest team from Mexico, and this is a dream matchup, right? You're getting the strongest team from Mexico, proven, and theoretically the strongest team MLS. So all that, you know, who's better, what's better, this is probably going to be the best matchup that we're going to have to maybe answer that, and we're going to get it in 2 games. It's not just going to be 1 game where anybody in 2 games. So we're going to see whoever moves on is the better team. So if Monterrey has a very real chance to eliminate Inter Miami at this point in the tournament, Inter Miami is a deep, strong team, the deepest, strongest team in MLS. Columbus is are the champs, still undefeated. That's why they're number one. But Inter Miami at the roster, they're very deep, strong team, but they're very young. So that's going to weigh on this matchup. We're going to see what happens. I can't wait for this game, for these 2 games, because it's going to be Mexican League versus the American League and you know, the MLS. And we're going to actually see the 2 best representatives. We couldn't have picked them any, you know, handpicked them any better. That's what we got. We got the best.
You know what I really like about it is that we're getting to see it in Mexico, which is what we didn't get with Leagues Cup. No offense to Leagues Cup. And, you know, I'm not trying to water down the accomplishments that Inter Miami made, but we didn't get to go to Mexico. We didn't travel. It was all played in the United States. This is like our little Champions League right now, you know, like legit. It's like the name suggests, Champions Cup, you know. So we're really trying to establish who's the best of the best here. Now, we are in the quarterfinals. So Inter Miami is playing, like we said, Monterrey. In the other quarterfinal matchups, we have 3 MLS teams left out of the 8 teams that are left, right? 3 MLS. Then we have what? 1, 2.
I think it was 4 Mexican and 1 Costa Rica.
And 1 Costa Rican team. Yeah, they're playing. What's the name of the Costa Rican team? I can't. It's not showing up here. Hold on. Ah, I lost it. Anyway, they're playing against Pachuca in one of the first quarterfinal. Then America versus New England Revolution, which New England Revolution, hey, good for them, you know, but I'm not really too confident then with them. And America, Club America is second in the Clausura right now in Liga MX, you know, just a few points. They're just one loss behind Monterrey.
Herediano is the Costa Rican team.
Herediano, okay.
Oh, that's all you, bro. That's your. Yeah. Those people are closer to you than me. I don't. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that one. Monterrey, Inter Miami, and then Columbus, the Crew, the defending MLS champion, taking on Tigres, who defeated Orlando. So we got Club America, we got Tigres, and we got Monterrey. We got 3 of the bigger squads in Liga MX here. Pachuca's another good squad too. So let me see, Pachuca right now, they're 5th, you know, and Tigres is the one who's not having a good Liga MX season, but they're rolling through these cup games right now. Tigres right now, I believe they're 6th. Oh, I take it back. They're 6th. So all 4 of the teams left are in the top 6. So that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but we're going to have, like Xavi said, a true champion It's going to be nice to see. We're going to have some incredible games, some incredible sights to see. I'm curious to see because, you look, man, Monterey is a hostile environment. They have great fans over there. But I'm curious to see how many Inter-Miami fans we're going to have there because the Messi factor is going to – I want to see how dominant the Messi factor is, you know? How many pink jerseys are we going to see sprinkled in all around there? Or are they going to put, like, some type of block there? I'm curious to see that because that's going to be – and then if they play here, the winner of this match will take on the winner of the Columbus – Tigres match. So that's this side of the bracket. You could have Inter Miami going through Monterrey, Columbus, right? The MLS champion, and then having to take on Club America in the final, which would be unbelievable. Oof. That's the dream matchup right there that everybody wants.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see how that develops, but it's gonna be fun. Inter Miami's first game, like we said, is April 2nd, I believe here. No, April 3rd. My apologies. April 3rd at 8 p.m. They're hosting the first match. So very, very important to get off on the right foot. No, don't give up any goals. I don't have that in front of me. I believe so. But yeah, so that's what we got going. Inter Miami, best of times here. Everybody who's an Inter Miami fan, enjoy it. You got Champions Cup. You got Messi. You got Los Fantastics, like Xavi likes to say. Orlando.
Messi, yeah, Los Fantastics.
Orlando. Gus says, take it easy. The leash is still long. There's just getting a little shorter, but have patience that things will turn around there. We'll see. We'll see how this discussion and how this narrative is going to change here over the next week here. But let's get to it. My favorite part where I get to drill Xavi on his really weird top 10 list here. Here we go. So
the only more famous top 10 is the David Letterman's old top 10 list.
Yeah. So this list, which I make, but it's Xavi makes all the picks. So this is, if you have a problem, any discretion, any questions, concerns.
Yourself. You're trying to distance yourself from me is what you're doing.
No, a little
100%.
Bit. 100%. This is 100%. When,
at the end of the season, everybody, all the pundits and MLS people say, oh my God, this guy from Lemon City had the best list all year long. You're distancing yourself.
Yeah. You take it. You're taking the cake for this one. Just to keep in mind, the criteria for making this list here, I believe, takes into account prior position, win-loss that week, and performance. A tie is not always a bad thing, but it can be a bad thing at times, you know, when you should have won, we've established here. But let's start from the bottom up. DC United, who you had last week, I believe at 6, after some wiggle room, you put them down at 10 now.
You can't put the other list there next to it. DC it's a tough team. I mean, I think they're better than people. I was actually reading today in MLS, one of the guys was saying, okay, I'm finally going to admit that DC United's better than I thought. It's a good team. Yeah, they're a good team. I think 10 is a good spot for them. They still have room to grow. And let me tell you something. Chris McVay played the whole game, started for DC United. And he was one of the guys that I thought that could fill the center back role for Miami. Never got a chance here with Tata for him to bring in a guy that just got injured again. So it's a little weird. I hope at some point I have an opportunity to ask him about that. But it has to be at the right moment. You know, it can't be just
Don't piss off the boss.
Not piss him off, but a moment when that can be asked, because it's just something that's in my mind. It's like, you have this guy here and
wow. I just think it's interesting. You got a team at 10 who's 9th in the East. Not even in MLS. They're 9th in the East. You got them at 10. But, hey, this is your list here.
All tough teams are in the East.
So, number 9, Toronto. You got Toronto here. 2-1-1. They did suffer their first defeat this weekend. But you got them at 9. Okay. I like Toronto. I like that pick there.
This is a list that's dynamic. It can change. But we're basing it on the past, but we're projecting for the future.
Exactly.
And it's completely illogical. Don't make sense of it. It's completely illogical.
All right. Perfect. It's an amoeba. We don't know how it works, but we know that it works. All right. It's Montreal, you got them at number 8. Montreal. Also, you had Montreal real high last week after giving Inter Miami their first their first L of the season.
They're surprising team.
Montreal. Who did they play? They lost 4-3 to Chicago. Chicago's a good team. That was a crazy, but there was a crazy wind. Don't forget, there was that crazy goal at the end of the game because the ball carried it. So
how many people had Montreal in the top 10 2 weeks ago? Nobody. So we're good so far. Don't worry about that.
All right, so Montreal sits in fourth in the East, but you got them at eight here. Now, number seven, the Galaxy. Galaxy currently number four in the West. You got them at number seven on your list here. Okay. Same record as DC United, 1-3, and well, they don't have a loss yet. They're still undefeated, but they only have one win and three draws here. So okay, well, they played Miami pretty well. You're giving them a lot of weight for that Miami game. Okay. Now this is where I'm kind of scratching my head a little bit here.
A new team out of nowhere, right? Just blew up into the rankings.
Yeah. Well, you got a team that's currently number one in the West, undefeated in the league. Three wins, one draw, a plus four goal differential. You got them sitting at six, but they're number one in the West. So you got five teams ahead of them, including two teams from the West above them, which is fascinating to me. This is why this list is so good. Totally
illogical. We're projecting. Yeah. We're projecting. That's where they are right now, okay. But we'll see.
I mean, so Minnesota, I like your defense. I like your defense. It's a very weak defense, but it's a defense nonetheless. Minnesota United.
Out of nowhere, right? You got to prove it.
I like Minnesota, though. Their number 10, Reynoso, is a really good player. He just got his first minutes this week in their win this week.
He always does that. Like, to start the season, it's always an issue with that guy.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do the preseason stuff. He doesn't want to participate. He just wants to come in and play. But you know what? He's backed it up every time. Let's see if he backs it up again this season.
Yeah.
So, obviously, doing something there. Now, Portland, which you had high on your list last week, I realized we curse the team that we put in the graphic. We had Portland. We had your boy Phil Neville in the graphic last week.
You own that. You're the Drake curse.
Yeah, I own that. I'm applying that curse. That's why I picked Lucho Acosta this week. That was very intentional because we had Inter Miami 2 weeks ago, and then they lost. We had Orlando City to start it, and they're the worst team in MLS. So,
You're worse than the Sports Illustrated curse and not know the EA Sports or what
the
is
Madden
it?
Curse. Yeah, the Madden curse.
You're worse than the Madden curse, dude.
Right now, we got a good trajectory, good ratio here. So that's why I got Cincinnati there. But let's go back. You got Portland at five. They lost. They're currently sitting third in the West, but you're really high on Portland. You really like what they're doing. You're still giving them.
They're tough. I think Neville's a little bit better coach than people think he is. We'll see. But they also have a possibility of bringing in another DP. So I think it's going to be an even stronger team.
Okay. Now, Vancouver, you got at four. Interesting. Vancouver's second in the West. Seems like that's a good spot for them. Vancouver currently, they've only played three games. They haven't played their full four yet. I think they had a canceled game, right, because of the weather. And then they're 2-1. So
flying under the radar.
Under the radar here, yeah, so the White Caps
right here in Lemon City. They're on our radar here in Lemon City.
They're on our radar all the way out here, you know, 3,000, 4,000 miles away. You know what I mean? But we're picking them up. We're picking them up. I do think they have one of the nicest uniforms in all of MLS. That blue one that they wore. Oh, it's fantastic. Their away one is gorgeous too.
The uniforms. You have to do a uniform show too because this year the uniforms are
lining. Oh yeah, the uniforms this season MLS. Chef's kiss. Number three. Our cover athlete over here, FC Cincinnati. Yeah, nice uniforms too. Nice kids. Doomed to lose this week.
You're projecting forward. Why'd you put them so high?
They're doomed to lose because he's the curse. He put him on. I didn't know he was gonna put Lucho on the
cover. That's true. Fair enough. That was all me there. I didn't tell him. So FC Cincinnati coming off a 2-1 win against the Revs. But they did lose 2-1 and 1-0 to Monterrey in Champions Cup. So they played them very well. You know, 1-0 the first game, that was the Brandon Vasquez goal. And then the 2-1 in the second game makes me feel pretty good about our chances there as Inter Miami. Yeah, now,
absolutely.
Now, top two remains unchanged here. It's Inter Miami at number two. And you're still giving a lot of credit to the defending champions, Columbus Crew. The
defending champs, they haven't lost. They're playing well. What are you going to just move them down because? No.
You got them right now. Columbus is 3-1, or three wins, one draw, no losses. Sitting currently with 10 points. Inter Miami has three wins, one draw, but they do have a loss. In one extra game that they've played, they have one less game. They have a plus, you know, with the three goals that we scored in our one extra game, we have a three goal advantage in the goal differential over Columbus. But hey, it's shaping out to be a great, great season right now. Let's see if the curse is real. Let's see if NYCFC can pull it off and defeat Cincinnati this week. Then I'll know I'm onto something. Then I'll start using my powers for good.
Oh, but you had Cucho one time, right? You had Cucho on one of the top lists. That was probably the day the game that they tied. So they probably would have won.
Probably. You know what? I think so. Let's see, man. We might.
Edwin should not have all this power.
That's why I defer to him. He makes the list. I just picked the curse.
He's like the greatest American hero. He has the power, but he doesn't know how to use it.
Yeah, man.
You remember that show, The Greatest American Hero? You ever heard of that? I'm showing my age. Dude,
yeah, bro. That's why I was staying quiet, because you know you're dating yourself here, bro. Because if I know it, then it's really bad. And if you know it, it's even worse. So anyway, any last points, questions, comments, concerns? Big shout out. Thank you to everybody who stuck with us here so far through the show here. If you're still listening, make sure to subscribe. Make sure to like. Make sure to share. Leave a little review. Tell us how much you like my voice or you don't like it, or how much you think Gus is good looking, or how much Chavi, you know, is lying about his top 10 list and has no clue what he's doing. Whatever the case is, give us a little feedback. Leave a little review.
Top 10 in the nation right now, honestly.
Exactly. You know, so give us a little feedback. If you're watching on YouTube, give us a little follow, subscribe. Make sure you catch up to us. Any last comments, concerns, complaints, anything else, guys, before we wrap up here?
I hope Messi, that little hamstring is just a little hamstring injury, but you know, people are concerned that it's carried over from last season. And I don't know. I just hope there's no surgery or nothing. You know, with this rest, he comes back and he can finish the season.
Well, the last time Inter Miami played at New York at Red Bull Arena, they had that beautiful goal. Remember the Kermashi, the crazy pass from Messi, the no-look diagonal back to Messi, the tap in, that whole little highlight that they played all the last season. Fantastic. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Hopefully they'll show the game on Times Square. I think that's very cool when they do that as well. Real quickly here before we let you go, Gus, give me a score prediction for Orlando against Austin.
Orlando 2-0.
Oh, shutout. All right. I like it. 2-0 Orlando winning, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Chavi, real quick here before we go, final score prediction versus Red Bull.
They always play Miami tough. 2-1.
2-1, Miami wins. Will we see Messi?
No,
Messi. You don't think Messi's playing?
No, not. Okay. Not
all right.
For,
well, there you have it. There you have it. No Messi. But we have a win for Miami and a win for Orlando. Orlando this way, Messi that way. All right. So thank you guys for having a great show. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. Big shout out to everybody. We love you, and we'll see you again next week for another episode of the Vice City FC podcast. Have a great rest of the week, guys. Adios, muchachos.